Life in the city has its share of strange and dangerous things. But at least in more populous areas, there is the expectation of the unusual, and a tolerance of the unorthodox. And acts of aggression or sedition are met with swift resolve in the strange find good company. But the city is not the province of the truly bizarre. The weirdest things brew where people have room to roam, under the cover of solitude, into the nooks and crannies that are tucked down too deeply into the landscape, into areas too secluded for the light of day to shine, or the influence of social norm to affect, or the long arm of the law to reach. This is a place where the expectation of consequence and the fear of retribution are unknown. This is where the schemers hide, the occultists practice, and the psychotic take refuge. This is where the overly curious do weird things, and the eccentric know no bounds. This is where the drifters wind up, where the addicts squat in abandoned land, or in silos, or even underground in hidden bunkers. This is where things that are oftentimes too bizarre or repulsive to believe can and do take place. Prepare your mind and join me in a journey into those hidden away places I like to call the Devil's Playground. Gelatophobia, Part 9. So I ruminated on things. And you know what I decided to do? I didn't like Pearson's eyes. I didn't like any of their eyes. Dark, formless holes with a fixed circle for a mouth, like the opening of a bottle or the crude muzzle of a robot. They were all wearing these masks, a sort of exaggerated dark gray N95 mask, and all the masks were frightening. I didn't know what their faces looked like anymore. What's so scary about a mask, you might ask? It's the lack of expression, where the only way you can know what the wearer of a mask is thinking is by the movement of their head or the direction of their gaze. In this regard, the eyes become very important, because it is the only way that you can determine what they are thinking. And despite the fact that I couldn't tell much about their eyes, I could see where their eyes were pointing, and that made them particularly menacing. That's when I realized why I felt empowered by wearing my gas mask. I felt like I was one of them. Now I, too, had a cover, a scary semblance that I could flash at them like a weapon and watch them cringe in fear. But in order to make the transfer of power complete, I had to eliminate what scared me about them. So I decided I would kidnap Pearson and cut out his eyes. But there would be more to it than that. Much more. Before I did so, I wanted him to answer all of my questions. I would force him to answer me, and I wanted to do it while I was wearing the mask. I wanted him to see me wearing it. That part is very important. And something else, I wanted to add eyes onto my mask. Bulging eyes. I wanted him to see these bulging eyes and to feel utterly petrified by them. But I had to gain access to his house first. How would I do that? Well, there is one thing I have neglected to tell you in the foggy, murky waters of my insanity. Pearson is a monster, yes, but he wasn't always like this. Not to me. He was always kind of a weasel, but I sort of liked him. At least I didn't dislike him. I never thought much about him other than we sort of compared our fashion sense. We were both metrosexual, living larger than our limits. He more submissive and more agreeable than I.
He was not a bad neighbor. Just sort of a secondary or tertiary character in the play of my life. But he'd been bumped up to center stage now. You know, they say that if you're aware of being insane, then by definition you are not insane. I beg to differ. I think that you can know what you are doing is completely insane and be unable to stop yourself from doing it. And when I say this, I mean that you can know that what you're doing is, by society's standards, completely insane, but you can operate according to a different set of rules. Now, this is different from knowing right from wrong according to the legal definition, and this is a murky point. Because I feel like what I was planning to do was completely the right thing to do, although most of society would disagree with me. But that is because they didn't know how sinister Pearson and the others could be. These were ruthless people, and they wanted to be done with me. So it was either them or me. And I decided it was going to be them, starting with Pearson. Maybe you think it is wrong what I wanted to do to Pearson, to mutilate him. I really didn't want to. See, that's the dilemma. I just wanted to somehow erase his eyes without hurting him, if that were possible. But since I knew it was not, I had to pluck them out. You see, Pearson wasn't really human. I determined that over time. He was some kind of soldier. A soldier from another dimension sent to destroy me. They all were, but Pearson was my target for now because I knew that he had a weakness. They all did, I was sure. But I had discovered Pearson's weakness first, so he was my priority. Sorry, Pearson. If there is anything human left inside of you, I am sorry for what I have to do. I needed a way into his house. I knew that he liked to water his lawn, his precious grassy lawn, and he liked to peer inside of my window. At first, I thought I would trick him. He could be distracted. Imagine that, a hitman from another dimension who could be distracted from the task at hand. All I had to do was to create that distraction. Easy enough. I would just position a dummy in the window to look like me while I created another distraction and tried to get in through his back door. Too risky. My assumption was that he kept his back door locked. I didn't know this for sure, but he was the thorough type, so I hatched another plan. Access through the garage. My paperboy Jesse had access to several houses on this street, including Pearson's. People trusted him because he gave off the right vibe, and because his parents were in all of the right clubs and had a squeaky clean image. I paid him to deliver my paper and my mail into my garage so that I didn't have to walk to my box. He's fucked this up a couple of times. He's not a bad kid, bit of a slacker. His parents are overprotective fundamentalists. To top it off, I had photos of him smoking a vape pen. Oh, they would just love to see that. That'd probably get him sent to boarding school. How did I get these photos, you might ask? Remember, I'm the guy who sits in his window all day. I could easily blackmail the kid into doing whatever I needed him to do. And in this case, I happened to know that Jesse took care of Pearson's plants when he was out of town. That meant he needed access to Pearson's garage. And that meant he had a key. I felt so pleased with myself as I could see my plan coming together like a charm. But what is it about me that Pearson found so interesting? I started to fume. Why can't some people just mind their own fucking business? What is it that causes some people to target others just for spite? Oops. I just referred to him as a person, didn't I? Well, he was, in form, some kind of a person. Just what kind of a person he was, I needed to find out. There's a lot more to reality than most people realize. I have come to realize that myself during my period of isolation. There are hidden truths that are hiding in the light of day, and people aren't at all who you believe them to be. At first, I liked Pearson. Oh, yes. When I first moved in with Madeline, he was all smiles and chatty. He would come outside and do his yard work and smile at me in his goofy, silly way. I thought we were more alike at that time. I felt like we were both living the life, and we shared something between us that we never articulated. Maybe it was a look that we exchanged every now and then. But that was on the surface. That was when things were much simpler. That was when we could get away with our minor transgressions and hide our true intentions from each other and from the rest of the world, but still go about our mundane lives as if we didn't have a care in the world. Now things are much darker. I have been through so much. I have seen so much. I have changed so much. I have seen into the blackness of my own soul, and I know the darkness of all men's souls. And so has he. And so does he. It was clear to me. So have they all, but especially Pearson. He was the type of person who liked to laugh at me. He might still say hi to me to my face if I gave him the chance. But now I knew he was laughing behind my back, so I wouldn't ever give him that chance. He liked to laugh at me, to deride me, to mock me relentlessly. We would just see about that. I planned to put a stop to that.
Visit us directly online at thedevilsplaygroundshow.com. Subscribe to the Devil's Playground podcast to stay tuned at anchor.fm/thedevilsplayground. And visit our merchandise store at tinyurl.com/thedevilsplaygroundstore. You've been listening to The Devil's Playground.